Somebody tell me something you own that is authentic. Authentic. Yes, Ben. Who are the crystals? I know who Jerry Lewis is. That's pretty cool. That's authentic. That's authentic. So what makes it authentic? And what makes it authentic is that those famous people signed the dollar bill, right? Yeah? What else? Something authentic you own. What did you guys say to the person next to you? Yes, Alyssa.
I have a painting that I made.
A painting that you made. All by yourself. And what makes that authentic? Nice. Like the whole band or just the drummer? Yeah. Nice. And so what makes it authentic is the famous guy signed. What else? Anything else you guys have that's authentic? Nice. What makes them authentic? There you go. By real Eskimos who made baskets. Yes, we are going to be doing a series over the next 4 weeks. By the way, if you haven't been here before, just kind of explaining some of these things. We do four-week series, usually, of teaching. We're going to talk about the same thing for 4 weeks, or a similar topic for 4 weeks. And this series is Authentic Christianity, which I am very, 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 very excited about. Let me say this. Because the four-week series really give a full picture of the topic that we're talking about. You can't get a full picture of it just in one night. I would highly encourage you that if you miss a night to hop on to the website, because all of the teaching is on the website, and who knows what the website is. I will give someone a piece of candy if they know what the website is. Huh? What, say it again. Yes, youth.kasilafchurch.com. You guys got that? So, youth, which is what you all are. You're all youth, and this is a youth group. Okay, makes sense, right? Youth dot, and we're at Kasilof Church, so kasilofchurch.com. Makes sense, huh? Pretty easy. I think I mentioned that every week last year, and there were still people who didn't know the web address by the end of last year. So youth.kasilofchurch.com, because I never offered candy, that's true. So check it out if you miss a teaching. The handout that you guys have is online, and so is the teaching. So you guys can listen to it and go through it. Let's pray, and we'll get into what we are talking about. God, I just thank you for the opportunity tonight to be able to come and look at your word. God, you know, I'm just so excited to be back into this format for our youth group time, and that we get to just spend time together looking at your word and understanding what your word has for us. And God, I pray that we would use your word as the handbook of our lives, that we would respond to it, not only just knowing what your word says, but actually living it out, allowing your word to change our lives as we trust you. And God, I pray that that is what we would do with these passages we're going to look at tonight. Pray this all in your name. Amen. So we are talking about, hands down, we're talking about this idea of authentic Christianity. And the reason why I title it that is to immediately bring to mind that if there's authentic Christianity, then that must mean that there is non-authentic Christianity. That if there's a genuine type of Christianity, that there's also a non-genuine. A counterfeit Christianity, a bogus Christianity that is out there, which is very true. We'll look at some of those things tonight. I remember Melissa and I have gone to Mexico, taken teams down to Mexico for, five or six years, something like that. And it's not as popular as it was before, but when we first started taking groups down, and actually when I went in high school, you would see everywhere we'd go shopping, and you'd see everywhere you go, like these huge name brands all over the place. We'd go to these shops downtown, and you would see like Calvin Klein and Billabong and Roxy and Tommy Hilfiger and all this stuff everywhere. They had Oakley sunglasses all over the place. And the best part about it is you would go to buy it, and it was like cheap. You know, Oakley sunglasses are like $100, and you could buy them for like $5. It was like, that is the best deal ever. I love Mexico. I'm glad I'm here to buy these Oakley glasses. And you would ask the guys, you go, this is like real Oakley stuff, right? And they're like, yeah, real Oakley, yeah, I'd buy it, $5. And you'd go for it. But as, you know, we saw more and more junk being bought and started to ask around, you'd find out that really that stuff was not real. It was a ploy by these guys to sell a bunch of stuff because they found out that if they just sold some sunglasses that they had, you know, made down at the factory locally, by themselves, no one would buy those. But if you get this little O sticker that looks like an Oakley sticker and you stick it on the sunglasses and you stick, you know, paint a couple things on the sides that look like Oakley, people would buy that stuff. Because people thought they were getting this authentic Oakley, Roxy, whatever gear. And those, you know, sunglasses would fall apart. And so even though those things said that they were authentic, they were genuine, a lot of those things that you guys talked about are real authentic, genuine things. Even though people said that those things were authentic, and they looked authentic because they had the little logo on them, in reality, they weren't genuine at all. They were bogus. They were counterfeit. And that's the way it is with Christianity, too. There's a lot of Christians out there, and there's a lot of Christianity out there that is counterfeit. It's not authentic. It's not real. Many times, even those of us who do have a real relationship with Jesus Christ, we actually live out a bogus Christianity, a false Christianity. And sometimes it's not even intentionally. We don't even really know that we're living out this fake life. Sometimes it's to make our family happy, because, you know, that's what we do in our family, is that we do the Christian thing. And sometimes it's to fit in at youth group, because you really like hanging out, you really like going to events and doing stuff together as a youth group. And so you come here and there's a falseness. There's a lack of genuine authenticity, because that's just what we do here at youth group. We do the Christian thing. But regardless of whether it's intentional or not intentional, whether you realize it or not, the bottom line is it's not the real deal. And we're going to look tonight at what authentic, genuine Christianity, we're going to start looking at, what that looks like. We're not going to spend a lot of time looking at counterfeit or bogus Christianity. The reason for that is there's lots of places that we could look in the Bible where there are people that are bogus. I find that it's better for us to look at what's real, what's authentic. You know, bank tellers, when they start training for their job, and like treasury guys who like, you know, find out the counterfeit stuff, you would think to find out what counterfeit money is and to really test that, they would study all this counterfeit bills that are out there. That they would look at these counterfeit bills and they would go, oh, okay, I'm gonna watch for that, or watch for that, or watch for that. But they spend all of their time studying the real thing, Because if they found that if they know what the real thing is, what the real thing looks like, it doesn't matter what new form of counterfeit people come up with, they can always tell the real from the counterfeit because they know what the real looks like. So we're going to look at authentic Christianity so we can identify in our own lives maybe some areas in which we have this counterfeit Christianity. Open your Bibles up to 1 John chapter 2. If you don't know where that is, it's really close to the end of your Bible. If someone finds the page, if you'd say what the page number is. 838. Go to page 838, 1 John chapter 2. It says this. It says, "We know that we have come to know him if we keep his commands. Those who say, 'I know him,' but do not do what he commands are liars, and the truth is not in them. But if anyone obeys his word, love for God is truly made complete in them. This is how we know we are in him. Whoever claims to live in him must live as Jesus did." The first thing, the first requirement for authentic Christianity that he lists here is to know him. That in order to live out the authentic Christian life, we have got to know God. And the Greek word for know that he uses here is not like to know, like to open up a textbook and to learn all about Abraham Lincoln. And then you say, yeah, I know Abraham Lincoln because I've read every book he's ever written or whatever. This is to know by personal contact. To know personally someone. I can say because I've spent time with Kimberly that I know Kimberly. Because we've spent time together. I know her because of personal contact with her. That's what this word means. And he says you have to know him. Know him personally. Know him by personal contact. That is the start of authentic Christianity. And it's obvious because something can never be authentic. It can't be an authentic original if it's not that. You know, all those things that we saw, I looked at in Mexico that had those stickers on there, they could never become an authentic product of Oakley or whatever because they weren't made by Oakley. They weren't, by their very nature, Oakley sunglasses. They would never be that way, no matter how many little stickers you put on it. And he says here that he says those who say, "I know him, but do not do what he commands are liars, and the truth is not in them." It's kind of a harsh word here that he says liars, but that's actually not really what he's saying. He's basically saying, because when we say, like, you're a liar, it means that you're intentionally lying to me. What he's talking about is just someone who speaks something false, that says something that's not true. He says that if we say that we know him, that we have this personal relationship with him, but we don't do what he commands, we are just wasting breath because it's not true. We're saying something completely false. So those who are Christians but act nothing like Christ are bogus Christians, are not genuine. And this is not so we can look at someone else and go, you're a bogus Christian. This is so we can look at ourselves and go, is this real? Is this real for me? You know what? I say I love Christ. I say I know him. But my life looks nothing like his. Is it bogus? Is it real? Authentic Christianity is living as Jesus lived. He says, this is how we know we are in him. Whoever claims to live in him must live as Jesus lived. Authentic Christian living is a life that's lived like Christ. That our life, our daily life, looks like Christ. And we look to his life as our example to see if that's true. What did he do? How did he handle this situation? That I'm dealing with a similar situation. What was he about in his life? Is that me? Is that what I'm about? And his word is our example. The whole of God's word, it reflects his character. It reflects Jesus' character, who he was. The Gospels say great things about what Jesus did, and a little bit about who Jesus was, his character. But the rest of the New Testament really reflects his character, his what was going on internally with Jesus. And so we need to go to his word, and we need to go to his example to see what authentic Christian living is all about. It says, but if anyone obeys his word, love for God is truly made complete in him. And that word complete actually means to be made genuine. It's where this whole idea comes from. It means to be made authentic. If you want to be an authentic believer, if you want to be an authentic Christian, if you want to know what that's about and you want to live that out, it comes from mimicking Jesus. Living your life just like Jesus would have lived your life. Go through your day just as Jesus would have gone through your day. That's what authentic Christian living is. That doesn't mean that if we really do know him and we spend time with him and we have a relationship with him, it doesn't mean that we won't sin, that we won't disobey. But those times of disobedience are simply for us to recognize that there's something wrong. When we see something going on in our lives and we went, oh man, I blew that. I totally blew that. That's simply so that God can show us there's something wrong here. Something wrong with my relationship with God. Something needs to be fixed. So what does that life look like? We're just going to go quickly through these next few things because this just lists some ways that we can live like Jesus. Ephesians chapter 5, verses 1 and 2. You're welcome to flip there or you can look right up here. It says, follow God's example, therefore, as dearly loved children, and walk in the way of love, just as Christ loved us and gave himself up for us as a fragrant offering and sacrifice to God. He says, he starts out and he actually says, follow God's example. But see, the reality is that God's character is no different than Jesus' character at all. And Jesus' character is no different than God's character. Because Jesus is simply God in human form, God in the flesh. And so this writer doesn't even actually explain this. He just says, follow God's example, and then he starts talking about Jesus' example. Because they're the same thing. He says, follow God's example, therefore, as dearly loved children, and walk in the way of love. I love this idea of walking in the way. Yeah, a lot of you guys who have been around know that I've said 500,000 times what the word walk in the Bible means. It means to live your life. It's how you live your life. And he says, live your life this way, walking in the way of love. 1 John 4:8 says God is love. His very character is love. And we are to walk in that way of love. It's the idea of... Have you guys ever been like in deep snow and like walking with other people? I used to do this when I used to go like sledding and stuff. That, you know, someone would walk and it, like the snow's this deep and someone would walk in the snow, you know? And then to avoid getting too much snow on yourself, you would like step in the holes that they made. Have you guys ever done that before? It's that same idea that Jesus walks this way, he's walking, and that we are following behind him going, okay, Jesus is walking there, and he's walking there, and we're trying to match his footsteps. And he's walking the way of love, like the street of love, and we're taking that same direction. We're going, I'm going to walk down the street of love. Just like Jesus, by his very character, is loving, we are going to love as Jesus loves. That's what authentic Christian living is about, loving as Jesus loves. 1 John 3:16 says this. Again, you can look it up if you want, or you can just look right up here. It says, this is how we know what love is. This is the definition of love. How do we know love? This is how we know love. Jesus Christ laid down his life for us, and we ought to lay down our lives for one another. Again, he's talking about what the authentic Christian life looks like. Again, he's saying it looks like Jesus. And this is what Jesus did. He laid down his life for us. We all know that. We all trusted in what Jesus did on the cross. We all know that story, heard it a bunch of times. Jesus' sacrifice for us. But it's not just what Jesus did for us. He also is asking us to mimic him, and that he laid down his life. So we are to lay down our lives for each other. Every single one of us have our own lives. We all live our own lives. We all have different things that we have throughout our days. Every single one of us have rights. We have rights that are given to us. There's basic human rights that most people in the world recognize that everyone has some basic human rights. We have some rights that we have as Americans, some great rights that we have as Americans. But authentic Christian living is going, you know what? I'm going to put aside my life for someone else's life. I'm going to give up my rights to preserve someone else's rights. It's different. That's different than what's out there. That's different than the kind of life that most people live. And we'll talk about why difference is important here in a couple more points. 1 Peter chapter 2 says this. Starting in verse 21, he says, "To this you were called." Called just means that you were challenged to this purpose. You have been taken from a group of people, and God has taken you out and set you over here and said, this is a new purpose for you. Here it is. This is what you were called to. Every single one of you have trusted Jesus with your life. Every single one of you who are trying to live the authentic Christian life, this is your purpose. He says, because Christ suffered for you, leaving an example that you should follow in his steps. He committed no sin, and no deceit was found in his mouth. When they hurled their insults at him, he did not retaliate. When he suffered, he made no threats. Instead, he entrusted himself to him who judges justly. This is Christ's example, and it's kind of a weird example that we're supposed to follow in his steps in this way. We're supposed to follow in the same way as Christ suffered. I don't know about you, but I don't want to suffer. I don't want pain. I don't want hurt. But what he's saying here is that hurt is going to come. Suffering is going to come. It doesn't mean that you have to go, okay, I'm going to go get into a situation where I just know I'm going to get beat up and, you know, I'm going to have to suffer. That's not what he's saying. He's saying when you suffer, when you hurt, and that happens, probably happens more than you even realize how much you get hurt. It happens all the time. People hurt you. Situations hurt you. When you're hurt, when you're mistreated, we've been called to be like Christ when we're hurt, to walk in his footsteps when we're hurt. When people make fun of us, when people insult us, when people belittle us, go, oh, yeah, yeah, you're just, you know, little Nate. You may have a friend that you've had a friend for a long time, and all of a sudden they just decide not to be your friend anymore. You might have a boyfriend or a girlfriend, they dump you for some other person. It says, in all of those situations, every time you're hurt, authentic Christian living is to respond to that hurt as Christ responded when he was hurt. That's what we're called to. And the amazing thing is when we are hurt, when we are when we suffer, and we respond like Christ responded, that is one of the most that's the most unbelievable situations to be able to demonstrate who Jesus is to other people. Because people don't respond this way. Most people, when they suffer, they complain. They retaliate. They fight back. Someone makes fun of them. Maybe they don't make fun right back because maybe they're intimidated or something, but they walk away and go, yeah. Talk about them later. Teacher gets on you, treats you unfairly, and you're in the hall next period or next break and going, oh, man, Mr. Smith, he's done. We're called, when we suffer, when we get hurt, to respond as Christ did. And he's very clear about it. He didn't commit any sin. No deceit was found in his mouth. He didn't try to lie his way out of it. He didn't try to hide something. When they insulted him, he did not retaliate. He didn't come back at them. When he suffered, he didn't make any threats. He didn't go, I'm going to get you. I'm coming back at you. Instead, he entrusted himself to God, to the one he judges justly. Last one in your handout is this. 1 Peter chapter 1. It says, as obedient children, do not conform to the evil desires you had when you lived in ignorance. But just as he who called you is holy, so be holy in all you do. For it is written, be holy because I am holy. He says, don't conform to the mold that of who you were before you came to Christ. You know, a mold is one of those things that has all these different shapes, and it can be so many different things, and you pour something into that, and whatever you pour into it, it takes the shape of that mold. It's conforming. It had a shape before, but it's conforming to this new shape. Melissa always gets all these, cool cake pans and stuff for the kids' birthdays, and like she got these Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtle pans this last year, which I really liked because I love Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles, and they were like these faces of the different Ninja Turtles, and you'd pour cake into it and you'd bake it, and the cake that was once this just mush stuff would suddenly look like a Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtle because of this little conforming pan. And he says, don't be conformed to who you were before. Don't take the shape of who you were before. Don't look anything like you did before you came to Christ. And don't conform to the mold of other people who don't know Christ. Don't conform to their mold, because that's not the mold for you. He says, instead, be holy. In all you do, be holy. Why? Because he's holy. To be holy, when you boil it down, we could go into all of the, you know, there's so many different books out there about holiness, there's so many different definitions of holiness, but the bottom line is, holiness means to be different. To be different in who you are, to be set apart to be someone different. Again, it's like you're in this group of people, and God said, I'm calling you to be holy. I'm going to take you over here. That they're doing this thing over here, you're going to do something completely different and be something completely different. Lots of things that go along with that: purity, integrity, all those things. But he's taking you and making you separate, like a special ops guy. Do you guys know special ops people? It's like there's this whole army of people, and then they say you and you, we're going to take you over here, and you're going to have a special purpose. A different purpose than the whole army has. You're going to have the special purpose to do something different. And we have that same thing. And why are we going to be separate? Why are we going to be different than the world? Because God is something completely different than the world. Again, we're matching, we're mimicking, we're being like Christ. That's authentic Christianity. Part of it, at least. The bottom of your handout, guys, says this. It says, authentic Christianity is living a life that lines up with the Word of God. That's what we're talking about tonight. By the Spirit of God, for the glory of God. Question at the bottom of your handout, there's two questions, actually. It says, by God's definition, is your daily Christian life genuine? Is it real? When you look at your everyday life, is it genuine? Is it real? Is it authentic? And in what ways do you think that your Christian life is not the real thing? If you answer that question and go, you know what? Probably some of you guys answer it. Sort of looks a little, you know, authentic, a little genuine. Well, then in what ways is your Christian life not the real thing? In what ways does your Christian life not match up with who Jesus is? Let's pray, and we'll go to our So What groups. God, I just thank you again for your word. I'm so blown away by it, so amazed by how clear your word is, and how beneficial it is to life with you, that you give us everything that we need for a life with you. I pray that we would take a look at our lives, take a look at who you are, and see if it matches up. Because God, you have called us to a life that mimics your Son, that mimics your character. pray as we go to our sew-up groups that we would have time just to make this real in our lives, make this apply to our everyday lives. Pray this all in your name. Amen.